Hey everybody, I'm Gabe.
And my name is Cabby, and today we will be reviewing Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is a 2023 animated movie that is all about Spider-Man, and he's working with the Spider Society, and then everything goes wrong. Cabby, I know you're a big fan of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, so expectations were pretty high for Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I want to start by asking you this. Is Across the Spider-Verse better than Into the Spider-Verse?
That's a big question, because Into the Spider-Verse kind of like set a new standard for not only just animated movies, just Spider-Man movies, or just like superhero movies in general. I don't know if I can say right now it's better than Into the Spider-Verse, but I can say that it was probably like right there with it. But Into the Spider-Verse is just in a league of its own, so I can't say that. But Across the Spider-Verse was a really, really good movie. What did you think about the movie?
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw Into the Spider-Verse, and because of that animation style and how different it was, there was kind of that like brain-opening experience where you're like, oh, this is how animated movies can be. And more than that, you and I both like Spider-Man, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I remember being like, it's so cool that like this movie is this good. And so, yeah, expectations were really high for Across the Spider-Verse, but I do think they nailed them. I will say, kind of starting with our cons, Across the Spider-Verse was originally supposed to be a two-part movie. Mm-hmm. Did you kind of feel that unresolved nature, kind of similar to the first Dune movie, where there wasn't really a satisfying conclusion, or were you okay with the first part that we got and the ending that
with how it ended?
Yeah.
Well, throughout the entire movie, I mean, I thought it was like, it was just an enjoyable movie to watch, but then right when it got to like, you know, where like everything was about to go down is right when they're like, oh, like we'll be back for part two. And that did feel like a little like, oh, so this, you're telling me the last, like, because it's what, like a 2 hour, 2.5 hour movie?
Yeah.
Like, it's a pretty long movie, and that's just an entire setup thing just to come to find out, like, I have to wait a year or two to, like, actually get those, like, action scenes to just sort of see, like, how it ends. That did suck a little bit, but at the end of the day, it was a great movie, but, like, I did wish that it wasn't, you know, this two-part movie, per se.
Yeah, I will say, I didn't think it was bad as, like, Fast X, for example, where there's just a child who's about to die and then it cuts to black. So yeah, I did feel slightly dissatisfied in the ending, but sometimes when the journey itself is so good, it's all kind of worth it. So let's jump into our positives, starting with just the acting. The first movie was so stacked. Obviously, we had Nicolas Cage, John Mulaney, and then your stars, Shameik Moore, Hailee Steinfeld. This time they're replaced with, you know, Daniel Kaluuya, Oscar Isaac. So how do you think they did in this one?
I love them. I mean, they've hit on casting for both the movies, and I think they played their role perfectly. I mean, Oscar Isaac also, like, I had just recent... I haven't watched too many things by him, but I have watched a few things, and the most recent thing before this was Moon Knight, and I absolutely loved his, like, his acting in it, per se. Like, out of all the Disney Plus, like, Marvel shows, Moon Knight was definitely a better one for me. So that's where I kind of got introduced, and then his voice acting for Miguel was just amazing, and I thought he portrayed that character very, very well. What did you think about them?
Yeah, I think obviously Oscar Isaac was one of the standouts. I think Miguel O'Hara's Spider-Man 2099 is a really interesting character, and they had some creative liberties with him and his origin, and I think that worked really, really well. Giving him the story of like someone who lost their child. Spider-Man is a character who is all about loss, and that's a big theme throughout this movie, so I'm sure we'll touch on it. But it's really never been, like, losing a child before. So I think it was really, really well done how they kind of showed how painful it is for him. And I think there's kind of this idea that, like, Miles is kind of like a kid.
Right.
And so he wants to protect him from himself. And I think that's really rich and kind of serious for something that could have just been, like, a kid's movie. Speaking of having kids, I just want to point out Jake Johnson, who plays Peter B. Parker, loved him in New Girl, and in this, he's just, like, the proud dad for this little child.
I know, it's amazing.
And it is adorable.
Yeah.
And he is just hysterical in this movie.
I mean, it's a great side character in the movie, but I wanted to touch on what you were talking about for Spider-Man 2099. I think one thing I like about just movies in general is when the villain is not, or villain per se, is, like, more than just, you know, the character that they are. Like, it's a complex villain, so you can't really say that he's like a complete villain. It's just like you have to really look into it, and I think that's what, you know, Spider-Man 2099 kind of portrays, because yes, on the surface of it, he is a villain because he's not allowing Miles to, like, you know do the thing that he wants to do, which is save his father, right? But like, you have to kind of understand, like, because of his past, he doesn't want other things to happen to the Spider-Verse as a whole and, like, everything. And I think it's just another, like, complex villain that I just, you know, loved being introduced into the movie. Were there any characters, you know, new or old that kind of just stood out for you?
Well, you touched on villains, and this movie does have a villain, quote-unquote, who isn't Spider-Man 2099. We have the Spot, I believe played by Jason Schwartzman, who's been on a heater with Asteroid City. And I kind of took the Spot as a joke in the beginning, like, when he's committing a robbery and sandwiches are falling out of his stomach, and you're like, okay, bit character. And then at the end, when his, like, color's inverted and it became super, super serious, you kind of sit up in your seat and you're like, oh, shoot, what is going to happen in this third movie? And I really appreciated, like, how they kind of built him up from being a joke and how everyone treated him as a joke and he believed he was a joke to being this really serious threat to not only Miles but the multiverse itself. I think it really served to establish the stakes of the next movie while also giving us compelling character growth. In this one, a couple other characters who I thought were really good. Obviously, you know, Hailee Steinfeld has been really good as Gwen Stacy. Issa Rae was in it as Jessica Drew, and I thought that was really cool, and I appreciate the fact that she was pregnant. I thought that was a really cool detail. But there's somebody that I know you want to talk about. A specific Spider-Man.
Oh, yes. Prabhakaran, the Indian Spider-Man. I thought that was so sick. Yeah, no, that was, like, absolutely amazing when they went to, like, his little multiverse or whatever, his little universe or world, and, you know, just his introduction. I thought the representation was just amazing. He was such a funny guy, a lovable character per se, and one of the lines, like, it was like chai tea. Oh, you can't say chai, that's like saying tea, you don't say that. He was such a, like, you know, fun character, and I thought that was just amazing by them to just have him in there. And yeah, that was definitely one of my favorite side characters for sure.
Yeah, I think he and Daniel Kaluuya's Spider-Punk both had distinct identities, so while everyone in this movie could just be another Spider-Man, these characters were their own entities, and I thought that was really cool. And because they were their own entities, they kind of had their own art style. So you kind of touched on Spider-Man India's world. There was a distinct look to that. There was a distinct look to, like, everything about Spider-Punk. Did you kind of pick up on that? And if so, like, was that distracting for you? Did you appreciate it? What are your thoughts on that?
No, I mean, when you go back to the artistic styles of this movie and just the overall animation, like, it was just out of the park. Like, you think that they set a standard, and they somehow, with the second movie, just, like, broke through that standard. And, I mean, I didn't find it distracting at all. I absolutely loved, you know, just, you know, it's giving each character their own, like, unique identity. And I think that's really important. So.
Yeah, I really agree. Speaking of distinct identity, this movie's score felt very much like a score for this movie. And the soundtrack done by Metro Boomin. I know you're a big Metro Boomin fan. Is there a song on the album that you want to tell the audience right now that's the one they got to check out?
I think the entire soundtrack, you should definitely give a listen. There's a song called Calling featuring A Boogie and Nav and Sway Lee, I believe. That is a great song. No, but I think Metro Boomin, I mean, he has been on a run this year. This is sidetracking, but he's a great producer, and him being chosen to produce this movie was a great choice. So, I mean, you should definitely give a listen. It has different, you know, music styles in there that I think you would all love. But yeah, I mean, I loved
it. I mean, when you sample Homelander in a soundtrack, the superhero pipeline is pretty easy. Mm-hmm. The song's called Colin. Cabby, call your shot. Is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse winning Best Animated Feature?
You know what? I would me personally, I think they are running away with it. And
yeah.
I think they should definitely win the award. I mean, all that hard work and everything has to be recognized, and I think they are.
Okay. Well, you think it's going to win Best Animated Feature. What is your score for Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse?
I'm sometimes a little too generous with my scores and everything.
Speak or
my
your truth, man.
Ratings. I mean, Spider-Man is my favorite superhero. This animation was just amazing. I have to give out, like, a 10 out of 10. Just because I loved this movie, and I will go back and watch it as many times as I can.
Absolutely. Slightly differing, still good. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. My issue with the movie is kind of a spoiler, so I don't want to dive into it too much, but there's some narrative decisions that I wasn't crazy about. I do think they're going to walk him back in that third movie, and I'll gladly name it a 10 out of 10 if they do. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, fantastic. Doing this review with you was even better.
Yes, it was.
We'll be back for more next time. Thank you guys for watching.